This is Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper. Thanks for being with us.
A conversation on sleep with Dr. Jean Duffy. She's associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and a neuroscientist in the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders in the Departments of Medicine and Neurology at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Duffy, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, there aren't a lot of things that humans need to survive. We need water, we need food, and we need sleep. For a lot of people, there's nothing really better than a good night's sleep. Can you describe what sleep does for us? What does it do to our bodies, both physically and mentally?
So mentally, it allows us to be alert and attentive when we're awake the next day. It helps consolidate new information that we've learned. So we put new experiences, new information kind of into our memories. It also prunes useless information that we may have encountered during the day. So it strengthens important information in our memory and kind of gets rid of unimportant information. In terms of our bodies, we know that it's important for metabolism. It's important for our immune system, for our cardiovascular health. So there's really a whole lot of things that sleep does for us. And we mostly learn about that by when people aren't sleeping and we see what the deficits that come from that are.
What happens to our bodies when we don't get enough sleep? I mean, aside from the occasional bad night's sleep, if someone suffers from insomnia or just doesn't allow themselves to get enough sleep, how does that negatively affect the body?
So it does a number of things. As I said, sleep is important for our immune system. And when we're not getting enough sleep consistently, that makes us more vulnerable to things like cold viruses. So we're more likely to catch a cold when we're exposed to the cold virus if we haven't been getting enough sleep. And other things that are related to our immune system. So if you get a vaccination, you may not build up antibodies as quickly if you haven't been getting enough sleep as if you had been getting enough sleep. We also know that not getting enough sleep can impact your metabolism. So you may be more likely to overeat. And even if you don't overeat, you may be more likely to gain weight just by not sleeping enough.
Has the way we sleep changed over time? Do we sleep differently now than people did hundreds of years ago?
The short answer is yes. The slightly longer answer is we think it's mostly because of our access to artificial light from electricity. And what we can do now that we couldn't do hundreds of years ago is, you know, keep the lights and entertainment systems on 24/7. So our patterns of sleep have changed, and we also think the duration of sleep has changed because of our access to electricity.
So hundreds of years ago, were people sleeping longer than they were before? I think I remember reading a story once about John Adams, how he used to go to bed as soon as it got dark, because, of course, in the winter here, it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He would go to sleep at 5 o'clock and wake up 3 or 4 hours later, and he'd do some work and then go sleep for another 3 or 4 hours. It was almost kind of like a split shift. Is that more of the way it was back then? Was that more common?
There are stories and reports that may have been common, especially in northern latitudes during the winter when there's a lot of darkness. For sure, people's sleep and wakefulness were more tied to the natural light-dark cycle than they are now.
What are some of the issues that disrupt our sleep? I mean, everybody at some point has dealt with problem sleeping, but are there specific things that can cause people to have trouble sleeping?
So there are behaviors that we can adopt that can interfere with our sleep. And then there are also medical problems and medical disorders that can interfere with our sleep. The things that we do to ourselves tend to be things like consuming too many caffeinated products and consuming those too close to bedtime, keeping an irregular sleep-wake schedule, so kind of shortening our sleep during the week and then lengthening it on the weekend. That can actually in and of itself disrupt our sleep. And then there are a lot of other things that can disrupt our sleep. So many medications can interfere with sleep. And then there are many medical disorders that can interfere with sleep. And there are then some specific sleep disorders that are actually problems once we go to sleep their problems having a solid night of sleep. So the most common of those is obstructive sleep apnea or sleep disordered breathing, where when the person lies down and falls asleep, their airway partially collapses and it can interrupt sleep hundreds of times a night and make that sleep very fragmented. And the problem with a lot of sleep disorders is that the person who has them is typically not aware of them. The only thing they're aware of is that when they get up in the morning, they just don't feel refreshed and they may feel sleepy during the day.
What about people who work on a schedule that doesn't allow them to sleep at night? I would assume that people who have to work overnight hours and then have to try to sleep during the day, that they would have a much harder time getting a restful sleep. Can people who work on those sort of opposite schedules develop other sorts of health problems as a result?
Yeah, so there's actually something that's called shift work disorder, which results from people who have to try to stay awake all night working and then try to sleep during the day. And one of the things that regulates our sleep is our internal biological clock or our circadian timing system. And that system promotes sleep at night and promotes wakefulness during the day. And so what shift workers are trying to do is to overcome that system and try to stay awake at night. And then even though they're exhausted when they go home to sleep during the daytime, they can usually fall asleep, but not stay asleep more than 4 or 5 hours because this biological clock that we all have wants us to be awake during the daytime. And so what happens with long-term shift workers is that they are typically only sleeping about 5 or 6 hours a night, you know, night after night, year after year. And they do have higher rates of some medical problems like cardiovascular problems, metabolic problems, and even higher rates of certain kinds of cancers.
As we get older, it seems that the amount of sleep that we need may go down. I mean, children, you know, babies need to sleep 13, 14 hours a night. And as kids get older, they require less sleep. Is that right? As we get older, do we require less sleep as we age?
So if you're talking about the transition from childhood to adulthood, that's true. But if you're talking about the difference between someone who's 30 and someone who's 60, we don't think that that's true. We think that certainly it becomes more difficult to stay asleep as we get older, but it's not clear whether that's because we need less sleep.
There are people who say, and I'm sure I am guilty of this myself, that they say, I can function just fine on 3, 4, 5 hours of sleep. Is there a magic number when it comes to how much sleep we should be getting, or is it different for everyone?
So there are certainly individual differences, and it is a very rare and unusual person who can function at their best on 3, 4, or 5 hours of sleep. We think that the average adult needs somewhere between 7 and 9 hours consistently, but then there are individual differences kind of within that range. So some people can do okay with 7.5. Other people might need 9 hours a night to feel their best. But people who say that they only need 5 hours a night, most of those individuals, when we then bring them into the laboratory and study how sleepy they really are, we find that they are very chronically sleep deprived. And they may have an ability to override their sleepiness a little bit better than average, but when you put them in the right conditions, you find out that they are actually quite sleep deprived.
Technology has allowed us to basically keep track of everything now. If you have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or some other piece of wearable tech, you can track how much sleep you get every night. My phone tells me that I average about 6.5 hours of sleep a night, and it can tell me how much light sleep, deep sleep, REM sleep I've gotten. How accurate is this technology?
So most of the technology, there are not published studies comparing it to what the gold standard is, which is polysomnography. So polysomnography, we would put sensors on someone's scalp and actually measure their brainwaves while they were sleeping to tell when they fell asleep and how deep their sleep was. So there are very few published studies comparing the commercial devices to that gold standard. We do know that in some cases they're quite inaccurate. they may be best for doing things like comparing your own sleep from one night to the next. And they're probably best at just gauging approximately how much sleep you got. But by telling whether you're in deep sleep or REM sleep, I think I haven't seen a lot of convincing evidence that those devices can do that very well.
So I guess this takes us to the million-dollar question here. What can people do to try to get a better night's sleep? Just an average person, a healthy person who just doesn't sleep well. What are some things that people can do to try to sleep better and get more restful sleep?
So the first thing is to look at the person's what we call sleep hygiene. That is the practices surrounding sleep that can make sleep better or worse. The first thing would be, if you're having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, is to cut back how much caffeine you use during the daytime and push it earlier in the day. If you feel like you need to drink some coffee, drink it in the morning. Don't drink it in the afternoon or the evening. Similarly, with exercise, we know that regular exercise can improve your sleep, but not if it's happening too close to sleep in the evening. So getting exercise regularly, but making sure that it's in the morning or the afternoon and not too close to sleep. Setting a consistent bedtime and wake time is also very important for being able to consistently sleep well because of this biological clock that we have. The biological clock is regulated in part by our exposure to light and darkness. And so by going to bed and getting up at the same time every day, we can keep that clock synchronized. And then it will be promoting sleep when we go to bed every night and helping us to stay awake during the daytime. Finally, recognizing that sleep's important and that we have to set aside time for it every day. It's like, you know, diet and exercise. If you want to be healthy, you have to kind of make an effort to exercise regularly, to eat the right foods, and you also have to set aside a consistent amount of time for sleep night after night in order to have your healthiest sleep.
Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure to speak with you about sleep, and I wish everyone a good night's sleep tonight.